rolling along. Pomp and Joe without Joe. He's on a golf course somewhere on vacation this week. Then I'll be on vacation next week. So, Austin, you're going to have a principal role in this broadcast, as you always do. But right now we're joined by Nick Fireball from Penn Live. He does a great job covering the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can check him out online with all his latest information. And we've talked a lot about T.J. Watt, Nick. We've talked a lot about some of these other guys. And one guy I'd like to get your take on and what you expect is Aaron Rodgers, their quarterback. This was something at the very beginning didn't look like it would happen after they made an offer to Justin Fields, who I preferred being here because I wanted to see what they can extract from his game in the passing department, excuse me, a year later. But they didn't do that, or at least they didn't offer him enough money. So this became the name they were after. It took a while, but they got it done. Were you pro Rodgers before this move? And what are your expectations now that they made the move to put him as their quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have preferred to see Fields, not because he's better. I actually think Rodgers is better than Fields and Wilson, to be quite honest with you, when you watch him on tape. But I did like the idea of at least trying that dart throw upside game. Like, who knows? Maybe this year New York finds their own version of Baker Mayfield and Justin Fields, and then you don't even have to draft a quarterback, right? I mean, that's kind of what I think the attractive thing about Justin Fields was, is maybe he could find that next gear in his career, like some of these guys have later. Him, Geno Smith, Mayfield's obviously done that. So it's been a thing. Darnold last year. So maybe Fields could have been that guy this year. I thought that was the appealing thing about that. But I do actually think this is going to be an upgrade compared to what they had last year. I think you look at Rodgers, the arm is still there. Obviously, the mobility isn't great. He's still coming off that Achilles injury. He looked more mobile than I thought he actually was at minicamp. Like, he moved around a little better than I thought he would, but he's not going to be scrambling or anything like he was in his heyday. And the arm is good. I mean, he can still throw the ball deep. He can still throw with plenty of velocity into tight windows. He's got incredible what I call arm arrogance, Bob, which means he thinks he can make any throw on the field whenever, from anywhere. And he does still do it. And he can do it still. It's pretty impressive. Obviously, above the neck, still a very smart player. It's going to all come down, actually, Bob, to the offensive line, though. Hits feel different when you're 41 going to be 42. So Rodgers last year behind a bad Jets O-line that was hurt and battered took a lot of quick game and just dumping it off and screens and quick slants, and teams baited that throughout the year. And he didn't get to really air it out much. And so if the Steelers O-line can hold up, he'll be able to do a more diverse skill set this year in Pittsburgh. So I do think that they can get, you know, somewhere around the 15th, 14th best quarterback in the NFL here from Aaron Rodgers, even if he's not the four-time MVP. I still think they can get good play out of him.
So you said, what, 13th, 14th best quarterback for Rodgers. What do you think the outlook would put the Steelers at if Rodgers plays at that type of level?
Yeah, I mean, I think the outlook is for them, hopefully, because I would imagine if he plays at that level, you would hope the O-line is solid, right? I think that actually, like, people aren't talking about this enough. I think the offensive line's the key to this team's success. I really do. If this offensive line's better, I think then they could be better than last year. They could be 11-6, 12-5, maybe even. But I think that's a little rosy. I still think even if Rodgers gives you kind of that 13th best, I think probably 11-6 the ceiling. I think 10-7 still feels very likely to me. I don't think that their moves this year, while I think they're a better team, I don't think they're so much better that it changes a lot of what I thought about them. Granted, I thought last year some of those wins they got lucky in. I do think they got a little bit lucky in some of those wins last year. But I do think this year they're going to have a more sustained version of that, I guess. Like, it's easy. It's more going to be more easily replicable. And that means you have a better shot for a playoff win. That's kind of my view. If Rodgers gives you 13th best, 14th best quarterback in the NFL, it allows you to have more sustained peaks offensively, and that makes you a more serious team when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you said is true. He still can zing the ball around. I also wonder about, you know, what it's going to be like with Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers in the same room trying to figure out game plans. And I would imagine that Arthur Smith has to defer to him in many ways and say, what do you want? Because I know last year that didn't seem to be the case, even with an experienced quarterback like Russell Wilson. So how much give and take do you think will happen in that department when those two guys get together? And Mike Tomlin obviously has a say in that as well. How do you think that'll go? Do you think they defer to his four-time player of the year resume and, you know, just say, we're going to do what makes you happy. We're going to have our own thoughts here too, but what do you want to put in this system and how do we best utilize that?
Absolutely. I do think so. And the reason is you kind of have to with Aaron Rodgers. It's been one of his things. He's been a guy that likes to hot route things, change stems, change protections. He's been known to change plays. I mean, that's been a thing. I mean, he should have the same amount of kind of influence before the snap that Big Ben did in his final years to me. I think that makes a lot of sense to have it. I mean, Russ probably should have had the more than he had last year. I mean, Russ was a guy that used his mind a lot, and that was a big thing about Russ that I think maybe they didn't embrace enough. I knew that he and Arthur Smith didn't necessarily have great synergy, but I do think that should have been something. I hope that's something that maybe Arthur Smith learned last year is with your veteran quarterbacks like this. Rodgers is just even a different level than Russell Wilson, though. I mean, Rodgers is on a different plane. And so, yes, you should give him autonomy. You should allow him to call routes, to call plays, to talk about what he wants. You still have the basic tenets, I think, of Arthur Smith's system. You're still going to want motion and under center play action and things like that. But are you going to see more shotgun and more empty and quick game and things like that? I think so. And here's something I don't think people realize, Pomp, but it's interesting, is Arthur Smith, before he became the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, coached under Matt LaFleur, who was Aaron Rodgers' coach in Green Bay for 4 years. And they run a very similar offense. If I were Arthur Smith, I'd call up LaFleur and say, well, how'd you work it out with Aaron Rodgers? How much freedom did he get there? And that very realistically became something that LaFleur and Rodgers kind of learned about each other throughout 4 years. And by the end of it, very much so, that was something that Rodgers had very much like full freedom of in that offense. And so I think if you can run a similar offense like that where he has freedom, I think he'd feel very at home. And there's way more ties, I think, with Smith and Rodgers than people probably realize on the surface.
But can we get to a point, Nick, where Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith are staying on South Water Street and FaceTiming their wives to make sure that they're not out partying on the South Side to basically change, I guess, the narrative of whatever their relationship is? Like, how do Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers sustain a relationship where they're on the same page, or does it all come down to winning?
I mean, part of it's absolutely winning. Winning cures ills. Winning cures all, I think, and to a degree. And so that's a big part of it. I do think Russ's play last year and being so outside the confines of a Smith offense. I mean, we are talking about a guy in Russell Wilson that historically targets the middle of the field the least in the NFL. He just doesn't. That's Arthur Smith's bread and butter. He doesn't turn his back and run a ton of play action, so the Steelers had to kind of kneecap that part of the offense, run bootlegs, and run fades down the sideline. I think that was part of it, is that Wilson is just such a non-fit in Arthur Smith's traditional scheme. And while Aaron Rodgers is also someone that doesn't throw the ball over the middle of the field as much as the league average, he does it so much more than Fields and Wilson did. I mean, you look historically, it's not even close. Rodgers does it about 9 percentage points more historically during his years with LaFleur. So that's going to be something. There's just more natural ground. And so I think having that kind of there for Arthur Smith, to where he doesn't have to completely just throw apart and take a machete to his scheme, is going to be part of what allows us to work. But communication, and you have to give more than you take with Rodgers. It really is something you do. I mean, he has that influence. That is something that you have to take with Rodgers. You signed up for this. You know what he is, right? We know what Rodgers does. We know the influence he has. And so if they try to fight back towards that a little too much, this will get rocky. But I hope that they learned their lesson last year, because Russell Wilson wanted more, and they didn't give it to him. And I do think that was a lesson to learn from last year.
You mentioned Gabe Davis earlier as somebody you'd like to see in here. If he doesn't come, and if they don't add on, and I agree with you, I think they will eventually, how much does that say about their advancement of the games of Calvin Austin and what they've seen, at least, and what you've seen so far from Roman Wilson? We didn't see him at all last year, so we don't really know, other than he looks differently. How much different do you see in Roman Wilson so far through all the camps?
He finally looks really healthy, Pomp. I think that's the good thing, is that, you know, he's a little bigger. He's not so much bigger that it's like a completely different person.
Like Jaylen Warren. Bigger. Jaylen Warren looks like a different person.
Jaylen Warren somehow gets bigger every season. I don't know how he does. I guess it's running the mountains in Utah.
Or the waves of Maui. Point. He's everywhere.
Yeah, he's running in sand in Maui. Yeah. He's pulling soccer nets on fields. Like, he's doing everything. Jaylen Warren's an absolute terror in terms of working. Unbelievable work ethic there. And Roman Wilson is a little bulkier. I think that's good. He looks really explosive, Pomp. I've always said his superpower is just how explosive he is instantly. I mean, it takes him two steps to get the full speed and acceleration. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get your hands on him, he can run right by you. And I think that's the fun thing about him is when you look at his ability to run those over routes and get to the middle of the field and stretch the field horizontally. He's not as much a vertical field stretcher as he's a horizontal field stretcher. He can do that because he can fly. He's got instant acceleration. And he's a willing guy. I mean, he's tough. This kid is willing to get his nose on the fan and block despite being undersized mm-hmm. for that spot. So there's good things to like about Roman Wilson. I don't think you necessarily throw him in there and say he's going to be your wide receiver too, but can he be a significant part of your chain moving operation? I think that's part of it. He'll be a guy that on 3rd and 7, you could throw the ball on an over route to and hope he brings it down. I think that's something that they have there. And then Calvin Austin, I mean, he's kind of what he is. I think he's a solid vertical field stretcher, an underrated route runner, probably not going to get more than 700 yards in a season. But I do think he's a high floor type of player. So I think they have confidence in those guys. But I'll say this, Pomp, you mentioned that you think they're going to add someone, and I do too. Mm-hmm. I think it would be malpractice not to add somebody here. They need another big body in this room. It can't just be Robert Woods. Like if DK Metcalf gets hurt, Robert Woods cannot be your X receiver. It just can't happen. So you need someone else in that room.
If everything crumbles down, Nick, this season, and let's say that they go 8-9 or 7-10, do you think that puts additional heat on Mike Tomlin where Art Rooney might ultimately decide to at least think about a move?
I mean, I don't think they're going to move on from Mike T at all after this year, but can he start thinking about what they would do with his contract coming up? Certainly. I think that's part of it. Because they've gone so all – if they're not all in this year, they're very close to it. I know that they have that eye towards next year, but they've clearly designed this year to be the year they break the playoff drought. I think that's been something. There's an urgency to this team this year. And going, saying 5-12 and having the bottom fall out from you, so something went seriously wrong here. And whether that was with the development of your players, with the signings and vision of the fit of these pieces together, that's a management and coaching staff thing. And so I think at that point, you think about Art Rooney saying, okay, is it maybe time? But, I mean, his contract runs through 2027. I just have a hard time seeing that. That would be, I think, the first time they would even think about moving on. But I think with Omar's extension, I mean, they're not even close to the hot seat right now. So it's going to take some catastrophic falling apart like that to even consider that seed, I think, in Rooney's head.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And maybe it takes Mike himself deciding it's time. You know, it may not come from Art Rooney. It may not come from anyone but him if that ends up happening. But they've cemented these two guys together. There's a lot of loyalty and trust among them with the owner. So I think that's how this is going to go. But that streak we mentioned with Mike Tomlin regular season, though, Nick, is out there, and it's a good one, but also attached to it is another streak that has to end, and that's playoff wins. They haven't had one since 2016. I think more than anything else this year, that has to be checked off the box, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something to me that they need to start getting a winning culture established, right? They need to start having the next generation of Pittsburgh Steelers like Zach Frazier and Joey Porter Jr. and Derek Harmon. They need to have those guys have a taste of playoff success to know what it takes to win playoff games. And you hope having guys like Ramsey and Slay and Rodgers and Hayward and all those guys are going to be able to instill that in them. And a playoff win or two playoff wins is at least kind of showing those guys what it takes to get there in the NFL. Having those vets is big, I think, in the NFL. I really do believe in veteran mentors and veteran players showing teams what to do. All of those really good young teams generally have one or two or three vet guys that show them how to get there before they end up learning on their own. And so, yes, I think for the Steelers, that is such a huge thing for them is they need to break this drought. I mean, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. This isn't the, you know, this isn't a franchise like the Jacksonville Jaguars, right, where you're happy just making the playoffs. The Steelers have made the playoffs a lot, but you got to win games and at least make it competitive. I mean, that's the other thing, Bob, is like, these games haven't even been competitive. They've just been run off the field. And so,
yeah, by the first quarter, the game's over.
Right. I mean, Baltimore, their rivals, ran for 300 yards on them, 299 to be exact. With kneel downs, they would have been over 300 yards on them in that postseason game. When you get your teeth kicked in by your biggest rival, I think it does something to a team. It does something to a head coach like Mike Tomlin where you say, we can't even compete with the guys we were designed to beat. They build right. the team every year to go beat Baltimore, and Baltimore kicked their teeth in. That's something that the Steelers took personally. I think that's a big driving force this offseason to make these moves and how urgent they are. And so I think not coming out with a playoff win would be a huge disappointment for them this year.
If they do win a playoff game this year, Nick, and they end up with a draft pick right around 24, 25, 26, do you think that they would still be aggressive to try to trade into the top 10? Do you think Omar Khan would have that on the top of his priority list, and what would it take?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would absolutely still trade to the top 10 if they can get up there. I look at Kansas City. Kansas City went from 27 to 10 to get Patrick Mahomes the 1 year they were really good. The Steelers, I think, would absolutely go way up in the draft. And listen, if they have to go that far, Austin, I hope you're ready to part ways with your 2027 first. I hope you are, because that's what it's going to take. Really, if you're trading into the top 10, that's what it's going to cost. You're 26 first, you're 27 first. Two day two picks, I mean, probably one in 26 and maybe one in 27 or two in 26, depending on how many thirds they have. That's a big thing. I think people look at the accumulation of comp picks and just picks in general in 26 and think, oh, that's for a trade. It's just as much for a trade as it is for actually being able mm-hmm. to have the draft capital after a trade to go out and draft your needs still. So there's flexibility with it so you can make the move. So it would be very expensive, but it would at least cost them two first-round picks. I think that's
And if you get the right guy, it would be perfect, right? That's you're willing to sacrifice all that to get the next quarterback because you do not want to go through this cycle every single year of trying to figure out who's your quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, they have to take a swing at some point, right? They've eluded it. They didn't do it last year. They didn't like the 25 class. 26 class right now around NFL circles is viewed much higher than that 25 class. It feels like there's going to be three, four, maybe even five first-round quarterbacks this year that you can get some of these guys that hit. And so you got to go up and get the guy you believe in, Pomp. I mean, at some point, you got to make that move. And so, yeah, you're willing to trade all of that because if you lay the quarterback, who cares if you don't have a first-round pick next year?
Right.
At that point, you got the guy.
But you better hit on the guy because yes. if you don't, then there are more problems. Nick, this has been fun. Thanks very much. We do appreciate the time, and we'll see you up at training camp.
Yeah, see you guys up at training camp. Thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks,
All right. Nick Faribault from Penn Live does a great job covering the Steelers. Very articulate about these topics, and we'll hit up Nick over the next coming weeks as well as we get closer and closer to training camp and St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Can you believe it's here already? It seems like football season, again, is designed now to be year-round.
Yeah.
You always look for a little bit of a break. And for maybe players and coaches right now, this is the month for a break as they get a few weeks where there's nothing, or at least should be nothing going on. Although you don't know about Omar Khan, what he's working on back there. Who knows? But, I mean, this is it's a dead time. But even in dead times, we end up talking about it almost all year.
Well, because the Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, Minka trade ended up making it where that
nobody saw
up-
that coming.
No.
Not one person saw that coming.
Not at all. And it ends up taking 2 weeks to just fully digest it.
Yeah, it was incredible. And
just like how we digested our Tim's Corner Market subs, Bob. Very good.
That's they're out there. I see them.
And you got to go get one. I
called your name.
One.
You already had one. You're way ahead of me.
I had a bacon sandwich. Yeah,
I bet you all the bacon's gone.
I bet possibility.
You. Yeah, I love bacon. I would eat my shoe if you wrapped it in bacon. I would. Just put a little dressing on that thing. I'll eat it.